This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer for Baptist Memorial Healthcare.
Hey, everybody. I'm H.F. Mason. I'm a General Surgeon and Chief Quality Officer for the Baptist System.
And I'm Brad Parsons, Vice President of Market Operations at Baptist.
Well, folks, we have a wonderful guest today, Darren Walsh. And Darren's going to be talking about his new book, Making Lean and Continuous Improvement Work. And so we are really excited to jump into this conversation. But before we go too quickly, Darren, if you would, tell us, our audience, a little bit about yourself and about your background.
Thank you, Skip. Yeah, so I'm a lean management consultant, I guess you'd call me. I've got 30 years experience. I've worked with some of the very best when I had a proper job in aerospace, medical device, energy tech, and and then in the improvement sector with the Lean Institute for the last 9 years. So while I've been helping different businesses improve and different teams improve, even when I had a proper job, I always got quite frustrated that we seem to be driving the wrong behavior. Even when I was developing corporate improvement assessments for my own teams, I found out, yeah, we were improving scores, but the teams were working on the wrong problems. And going out and working with different businesses and also seeing many of the books which were being published, they seemed to talk about a lot of new techniques and explain them very well, but they didn't talk about the problems and the common pitfalls that many organizations see along the way. And I kept seeing the same common problems over and over again. And really, this book started out with me trying to articulate the common problems that I keep seeing, whether they're in oil and gas, medical, healthcare, aerospace. And I tried to articulate those common problems, and I started realizing that actually a lot of them were linked to daily lean management. So I need to talk about daily lean management as well and explain that and explain what lean is and the problem that, you know, even on best practice visits, there's a lot of organizations got a lot of very good best practice visits, but most of them create improvement voids, and every few years they restart their improvement journeys. So really trying to get into what are these common problems in with organizations that can't sustain lean and really create, you know, make lean and continuous improvement work.
Yeah, Darren, that's great. And you've already touched on several things that we have covered in some of our episodes of Connecting the Dots, and really appreciate you being on today. And so excited to really hear about your book. I guess, when was it published? Here, just in the last few months, right?
Yeah, January this year. So still hot off the press.
That's awesome. How have sales been going so far?
Good. Yeah, good. I don't know the exact number. I'll have to reach out and check the publishers, but I have got a lot of people who keep messaging me on LinkedIn and some old customers and contacts keep messaging me. And I just had a phone call from somebody last week who's he's a very good improvement coach, but he's also known for speaking his mind. And he rang me up and said, "That's the best book I've read for ages." So that really put a smile on my face last week.
Awesome, I can't wait. Right. I do not have a copy yet, but I really appreciate you spending some time with us, and I look forward to looking at it. From what I have seen, I mean, and what you've already shared, it really touches on a lot of the things that we talk about at Baptist and on this podcast. So, but I got to ask, as we get into this conversation, it's an interesting title. I want you to tell us a little bit about the story of how you came to the title of the book.
Well, it was really all about that while working with different businesses, I was seeing that, they all had a lot of really good techniques and very advanced techniques. Some of them had, 30% of the organization trained with lean green belts. They got mixed model production. They got engineering standard work, leadership standard work. And yet they were still struggling to deliver on time. Even go to the local coffee shop, which has got, the books on lean, and they talk about lean behaviors, and they often run out of tea and jam and butter. And, how can organizations, you know, just run out of the business fundamentals. And you see this in coffee shops, you see it in healthcare, you see it in aerospace, automotive, you see it everywhere. So that really was, you know, part of that story is why do I keep seeing the same? A lot of people say they are doing this, and they often got a lot of, you know, good techniques, and they've got some fancy wallpaper or even some nice business awards in the reception area. But when you go around, you can quickly see that they're working on the teams are working on the wrong problems. And that was one of my other frustrations, is that if you think about problem solving has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet organizations and teams are pretty poor at problem solving. We're also pretty poor at continuous improvement, to be honest. You know, continuous improvement in most organizations is not continuous. It's stop start. Yeah. And, you know, visual management, we see it all the time. Visual management's being posted on social media. And I got to bite my tongue to stop me jumping in, because I'm just looking at it and I'm just thinking just looks like wallpaper. The PDCA elements are fractured. And then that means that the problems that the teams are working on are largely symptoms of the underlying problem. Even management routines or management go along, and they go along to the Gemba walks or the tiered meetings, and they keep asking the wrong questions. And then they overlook the problems that the teams are, you know, really need help with, and the ones that only they can help solve. So it was really all about that passion.
Yeah. And look, I love your passion for it, because I want to interject just to say that we are having the same very conversation at Baptist. And the way I've been framing the question is, you know, we've done a ton of training. We've got lots of leaders that are passionate about this work and doing it, but there's lots of evidence that we're not doing it well in certain areas too. And that's not to say that we've got great people that are really working hard at what, I feel like that quote of if the learner hasn't learned, the instructor hasn't taught. And so I'm really kind of holding up a mirror and saying, what are we doing, or what are we not doing that we need to be doing as an organization to help have those aha moments of how a lean management system can really transform work to get sustainable results? It's all about getting sustainable results. Exactly. So, Darren, help us unpack your book a little bit. I mean, where do we start?
Brad, I'm gonna jump in for a second, please. Because, you know, you talk about the pitfalls, Darren, and we'll get to some of those. But, you know, it's the mindset. You know, a lot of people have the misconception that lean is a bunch of tools, whether it's 5S, Kata, A3 thinking, you know, Lean Six Sigma, ninjas. But if you don't have the mindset behind all of that, the right thinking, it's not going to work. So talk to us about how important to understand what lean truly is.
So my view is what lean is just a way of working. And like you said, it's a mindset with that way of working. Obviously, it's got a bunch of tools. You can connect a strategy to it. It's got, you know, you could develop in a certain way, but it's ultimately for me a way of working. Coming back to Brad's point about the, you know, what are the main sort of pitfalls? What I've kept seeing in all of these different businesses, this is with teams that haven't got. Are they struggling to get started? This is with mature teams that perhaps have got 10, 20 years under their belt, and organizations with lots of world-class awards. I keep seeing three fundamental issues. For me, one is that they've got the wrong improvement strategy for their business, and that then drives the reliance on improvement experts and heroes and leaders at different levels of the organization, from leaders, managers, and frontline supervisors, it then creates an improvement void with them. And if they've got an improvement void, then they can't coach their teams on the right thing. So one is the improvement strategy. They have to adopt the wrong improvement strategy. They don't really understand the four steps of continuous improvement, which is linked to that. Secondly, they don't recognize the underlying business problem that most organizations have, and that is they have a bias for traditional management solution thinking. Now, you can adopt whatever tools, you can Six Sigma, Green Belt, Black Belt, you can do mixed model production, you could have visual management, horse and cannery, daily management of Bay Area areas. If you've got a traditional management solution thinking mindset, then you will jump to solutions. Yeah. And
it really speaks to HF's comment, which was a good one. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, and I appreciate you articulating, and I completely agree. We can't focus enough on the need to shift mindset.
Exactly. Right, yeah. And that comes into also the leadership routine. So the other part of it is leadership routines. But ultimately, like any good house, you've got to build it from the bottom up. So you've got to have good foundations. And this is where your daily management I like to call it daily lean management, because the lean thinking needs to be part of your daily management. Now, when we think about visual management is one part of daily lean management. But unless that visual management has got good PDCA structure, again, it will lead the teams and the management into solution thinking. And it also needs to, there's certain elements that can be made visual, but they must be underpinned by having the right mindset. So you can have a traditional management mindset where we jump to blame or solution and yes, no, or we've got a lean thinking mindset, which is more about discovery, a little bit like what Carol Dweck wrote about many years ago. So a lot of lean thinking, continuous improvement, we need that discovery mindset, but we also need leaders and managers to spend time on the right things. Otherwise, they will not create an improvement behavior. They will not create these new improvement habits. And ultimately, then, we need to connect those two with leadership routines. And when I talk about leadership routines, that doesn't mean sort of going along to a Kaizen review or a daily lean management review or a tiered meeting and trying to ask all the clever questions. I think the leaders and managers should ask questions last, but I think they've got a specific leadership routines. Their job is to firstly make sure that the team understands performance, their own performance, that they understand the main problems which are impacting that performance and they know the priority of them, and they are working on the problems. And where the team needs help, either they can't fix it themselves or maybe there's they need help from outside that area, then help should be coming to them. So that for me is the number one leadership routine. But obviously, leaders have got other activities as well. They're also thinking about, how the organization, the direction of the organization, the growth of the organization. But they need to connect that back to the strategy. So they also need to be cooking their strategy whilst doing it. So there's a couple of different leadership routines that they can start applying. But ultimately, I guess the first one is what I call check and alignment, making sure that every team is working on the right improvement or the right problem and getting help if needed. That's got to be number one.
Yeah, that, I love, and again, I'm on kind of pins and needles for these leadership routines because, again, Darren, I think this is really, really good. And again, I think you've outlined really well. I want to emphasize the point of a mindset shift from solutions thinking. And I like the way you said reliance on heroes.
Yeah.
Man, we do that a lot.
Yeah.
I think Sure. Everybody, again, it's this. We call it firefighting some too, but this reliance on the expert to come in and kind of save the day of doing what has to be done instead of spending that time and that energy to align, to check and align to a team and exactly. That they're working on the right stuff. So please, what other leadership routines do we need to be focused on?
So there's one check and embed in standards. We know that, if there's some people also call this layered audits. Ultimately, if we build effective standards, then, they won't maintain themselves. So we need some sort of leadership routine to check and maintain that standards. We're not trying to catch people out. We're just trying to embed that standard, but also the thinking and why it's important. We've also got the check alignment, the help chain. We need that. So that's when teams have got a specific problem that they cannot solve in a given time, then we need to pull on the help chain to make sure that help comes to them and helps the team solve the problem. Otherwise, the team will start getting two problems. They'll fall behind, plus they've got the other issue. So that's a management routine. Now, as managers are going to these areas and they are spending time with the team, it's counterintuitive in a way that for an organization to grow and improve, management has got to spend some time with the people who do the daily work and instead of spending most of the time on the strategy. But unless you get the balance right, then day-to-day problems will not solve themselves. And visual management and daily lead management is all about making sure that problems get surfaced quickly, get fixed quickly, and do not escape downstream. You know, because if we leave them alone, they will just breed and grow. And most teams, what they're actually doing is quite often they are working on the symptoms of the problem. So the check alignment leadership routine makes sure that actually we are dealing with the right underlying issue.
You know, Darren, I think that one thing that we struggle or have an opportunity for here at Baptist is when you talk about audits. We do a lot of improvement work that is truly good improvement work. You know, the problem is well thought out and the solutions are spot on and we see results.
Yeah.
But over time, everybody gets excited. And you know, we're kind of, you know, patting ourselves on the back. But over time, we kind of lull back into, after the new and everything's great wears off, we lull back into the same old routines and we start kind of backsliding. Yes. And I think that's where our opportunity is, you know, those ongoing audits, you know, that's not the real exciting part, but it's so crucial to be continually checking up.
Yeah, I want to jump in there, HF, because I think you're exactly right. And again, a lot of the terms are the same, but the term audit carries a lot of context for us, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you know, but it's a check and adjust to a standard, Darren.
Yeah.
Would you add to that? What's your perspective there?
Well, I think that audits can actually, it should be exactly that, but audits in the improvement space seem to grow legs, and that sometimes people will put an audit or they turn it into a gap assessment and they'll put it on a bunch of improvement tools. And then the improvement or the corporate improvement team might say, well, actually you need a better score on visual management or 5S or standard work. But if you use this check alignment leadership routine with good daily management, you will see 9 times out of 10, the real problem that the team needs to solve is something else. What management should be thinking about is, what's the problem that I need to solve? Why aren't my team asking these right questions? Why aren't they giving the answers? If the leader is stepping in and trying to ask the questions and answer all the questions, then that shuts down the team. We've got to be asking the questions and thinking about, why are they falling back? You know, why have I been visiting the visual management and maybe we've had audits running and we've been visiting that, but the performance is falling away. Really, whenever we improve the performance, we need to build that back into the new standards and build that back into the daily lean management.
Yeah. So, and again, a lot of what you talked about, again, you've really got me thinking about, you know, the tools and systems that we use and maybe why they're sometimes it's easy to get frustrated that they're not as effective as we want them to be. And, you know, and again, so it's this, but I really, the term leadership development keeps bubbling up for me in a lot of what you've said. And so what are your thoughts on how to develop leadership at the appropriate level and how to really get a better mindset and a better thinking pattern at all levels of the organization?
Yeah, good question. Quite often, leadership development in corporate environments is more of an overload. We teach leaders and managers the wrong things at the wrong time. And we know that if we teach people tools and techniques and skills that they're not going to use regularly, quickly they'll forget it. Yeah. So the first thing for me is all about defining what the role of the leader at the different levels is. Then we can teach the leaders in short interval training at the different levels. We can teach them with a little bit of upfront training to develop awareness and some knowledge, but then we can combine that with on-the-job action and practice to really start building that knowledge and a little bit of coaching support to deepen that knowledge and understanding. But ultimately, after that, we need some leadership behaviors or ongoing capability builders, some routines to deepen the knowledge. Starbucks calls these lean behaviors. So Starbucks will have routines just so that their team members can actually, you know, they make a bunch of different coffee and they'll go and sit down when the peak times fade and they'll explain to other team members, you know, what coffee it is, where it comes from, what's the strength, what does it smell like? How does it compare to others from just smell and then taste? And they also do that with store managers and regional managers on layouts and activity. We need to build some of those long-term leadership development routines back into the work. Yeah, and it's making sure that leaders and managers really are practicing the right thing. We don't need too many, but there are a few. Yeah. And even with this sort of system that I've sort of developed, identifying these common pitfalls and then trying to get into, well, how can you now navigate the common pitfalls, whether the pitfalls are on the daily management or lean as a top level system or in problem solving or Kaizen. I went and basically worked with more complex organizations to try and prove this. So even working in healthcare like yourselves, I work with a local hospital, Swansea Morriston Hospital in Wales, and they had a wait time for heart valve replacement of 52 weeks. And you know that, yeah, you know that aortic stenosis is a time-sensitive disease.
Sure.
And in the UK, the UK average was 26. So we worked on not chasing all of the waste. We worked on driving the value, and quickly the team there got that down to 6 weeks. So wow. 52 weeks to 6 weeks. And the number of procedures went from 80 procedures a year to 280 procedures
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, you increase capacity and you made the process a lot better.
Yeah.
That's Darren, awesome. Earlier, you know, talk to us about, you said you go into organizations, no matter what sector it's in, and you see a lot of work that's being done, but you're working on the wrong things.
Yes.
I mean, talk to us about that and how do you coach leaders to be more strategic about what they're working on, because we really, you know, we've got a gazillion things that we could work on, but we only have a finite amount of time, and how do we strategize with that?
So quite often they're working on symptoms of the problem, or they're working on improvement activity where they've actually got a lot of variation in performance. Yeah. So working with different organizations in oil and gas, I've got a couple of these in the book as well, case studies, oil and gas, the medical device. Quite often they are trying to raise the bar, but they've got variation in the work. So we teach them a little. It's more about trying to help them with the thinking behind the tools, and then teach them a little bit about how lean works and develop a management system so that they've start building the foundation. And then that in itself with this leadership routine is quite simple. It's basically three boxes, you know, so we help teams understand how to measure their own performance, top box. middle box is, well, what are the problems which are impacting you, your best levels of performance, the problems. And then the bottom box is some problem solving, rapid 5C problem solving. So the teams can quickly work on this. And if they can't fix the problems quickly, that's when we'll use an A3. But the majority of time, they're either working on the symptom of the problem, or they are trying to raise the bar. They're working on cost savings, value improvement savings, but they've got so much variation in the work that these underlying business problems is masking the result. So it's just teaching them a little bit of that. And then once we've fixed the top problems which are impacting performance, performance usually just jumps. The team themselves can work on any small problems, or if they've got lots of control, they start working on Kaizen activities and start working on that.
Darren, this is again really helpful, and I can't wait to get a copy of the book and dig in deeper.
Yeah, I'll send a copy across.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that very much. You talked about, and again, it's right here, I think, in this dialogue. But you mentioned behaviors, and we've been thinking and talking a lot about getting the right behaviors, because our systems drive behavior, and we got to have the right ideal behaviors to get the right results, or the ideal results. So speak to behaviors and how that influences this performance.
Yeah. So your behavior, so if you think of a help chain, if the team that responds in a negative way, then the team will start, either they'll try and fix the problem themselves, causing another problem, or they won't call for help. And if management also, you know, they act and they behave in a certain way, then they will shut down their team from raising problems. It's difficult that managers and senior leaders, they've got a difficult job, because they've got to try and understand their team's performance problem, and are they working on the right things. But they've also got to be mindful they are not their problems to solve. They got to think about what is the organizational issues here that may be contributing to these problems. So, you know, they've got to start thinking about how the work works, what's a high level value stream or pathway, are there conflicting metrics. Yeah, so all of these different things. But I think, you know, just articulating, capturing the, you know, what is the role of the leader, trying to teach them the mindset of lean, getting them to practice that regularly, because it's like riding a bike, but you've got to practice regularly. 100%. And then, you know, joining these with the routines and the behaviors. That's what I'm trying to, I've already started my next book. And I'm also trying to do some research and assessment for my next book, drilling into these common pitfalls. So I'm also offering sort of, a drastically reduced fee for coming in and identifying, just doing that improvement assessment as part of my research for my next book.
Darren, that's pretty impressive. The ink's hardly dry. It just got to the publisher, just gone out. And this guy's already working on his next book. You got to love it.
Well, you think that, but it was also a little bit of overproduction. I started one before this book was finished. So,
well, Darren, this has been fantastic. That 30 minutes went by very quickly. And so once again, to all of our listeners, go out, get Darren Walsh's new book, Making Lean and Continuous Improvement Work. I love that you're using the book as a platform to work through your thinking. And so this has been really rich dialogue, and we are just very excited about this work. And Darren, on behalf of Baptist Memorial Healthcare, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing, and hopefully you'll come back soon, especially now that we know another book is being worked on. But thank you so much for everything you're doing, Darren, and we're so grateful for everything you're doing. We really appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, love to be on. I follow the show.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you.